Good morning. If you could turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is a powerful, powerful psalm for when you're going through hard times. Let us stand for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So we're given the background of this psalm. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there's no deliverance for him and God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. O Lord, as we look to this psalm, I ask that it would touch people's hearts here who are going through hard times. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now, one of the nice things about this psalm is we're given the background, at least a clue of the background, of why David is writing this. It says, a psalm of David, so we know the author, and we know the time period when he fled from Absalom, his son, which creates a little bit of homework for us, because now, it says, okay, we know why the psalm is written, but now we have to go back to 2 Samuel, chapters mostly 15 through 18, but we'll even get a little bit before that. See, Absalom, David's very own son, the son that David loves, is the cause of David's hurt. See, although David was a great king, some might look at some other areas of David's life. And David had a son, Amnon, who violated his half-sister, Tamar. And Tamar's brother was Absalom. And when this happened, David really didn't take any action. And Absalom finally rose up and he killed his brother. And then went in hiding. And then finally, Absalom was brought home. But David didn't really spend time with him. You know, he's living in the same area, but they're not interacting. And Absalom starts this campaign of rebellion. And basically, as people are coming in the town, Absalom greets them and just pours friendship upon them. And somebody would come and say, oh, yeah, it's I'm here because my neighbor's animals keep running all over my property. And I had to put up a fence to keep my neighbor's animals off my property. Oh, you know, if only I were king. Your cause is just, man. Your cause is just. If only somebody would listen. If I were king, I would do something for you. And then somebody else would be coming in the court and say, oh, yeah, I've got a headache. Yeah, my neighbor just built a fence on my property. And he'd say, oh, your cause is just. Your cause is just. If only there was somebody who would listen. It didn't matter. You know, everybody's cause was right. Because all he wanted to do was tell the people what they wanted to hear. But slowly he won the hearts of the people of Israel. And then under a guise of, Dad, I made an oath when I was in Hebron. I need to go to Hebron and fulfill my vow. Oh, go. But what he really did was he was planning an uprising against his dad. And one of the king's counselors, Ahithophel, was with him, advising him, giving him wisdom and guidance of how to do this. And it ended up to be quite a crowd of people. As we look into the passage, they're coming back from Hebron, now as an army to take the throne. And David gets word, and he and his faithful need to flee. And they're fleeing upon out of Jerusalem, across the Kindred, and up onto the mountainside, basically probably the Mount of Olives. And as they're fleeing, David's choicest friends are the ones going with him. And some of them, he actually said, no, tell you what, stay behind. At least you've been a faithful friend for so many years, but you know this trip is going to be hard for you. Stay behind. But maybe you can kind of keep an ear to the ground and act as a scout. Let us know what's happening. And as David is fleeing, one of the relatives of Saul, Shimei, is there cursing David. And we can see that in chapter 16. Cursing continually as he came, and he's throwing stones and dust on David and the men, saying, get out! Get out! You man of bloodshed! You worthless fellow! The Lord has returned upon you the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the hand of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. And these are the accusations being made against David. No, David, there are things you've done wrong. We can look at David's life with Bathsheba. And David was a man of bloodshed because he had Bathsheba's husband killed Uriah. David wasn't always a perfect man. And now there's an army coming to kick him out of the throne. It's not just his son. Because if it was just his son and a few people, David could have withstood that. Because David had mighty men. David had an army. But his army had slowly defected to be on the side of his son. David has lost political strength. He lost military strength. He had to flee for his life. Ahithophel even said, tell you what, Absalom, what you need to do is strike now, strike now. Don't, David's fleeing, but don't let him rest. Take 12,000 men and go get him. But David had a friend, Hushai, and David said, remain, and you know, maybe you can thwart the wisdom of Ahithophel. And Hushai said, no, 12,000 men is not enough. You need a greater army than that. But it gave David a chance. A chance to regain his footing. And in that context, David is writing Psalm 3. So we can see that David's in a hard place. He's in a desperate place. And many, many have taken a stand against him. Oh Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. It's not just a few. David is looking at this circumstance. And he is bringing it not to his friends. He's taking it to the Lord. And he's not exaggerating the desperate spot he's in. He's telling the Lord exactly the spot he is in. Many are rising up against me. And many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him and God. Or there's no salvation for him. Many are saying. Think about what these many are saying. David, it's over for you. David, this is it. This is your final battle. Absalom is taking the throne. There's no hope. But the words are deeper than that. Because you notice what they're saying. There's no hope for him. There's no deliverance for him in God. You know, when people can look at our circumstance and say there's no hope for us, there's no deliverance for us, the outcome is definitely set against us. That's one thing. Because we can turn to the Lord. But when there's no hope for us in God, there is no lower spot you can be. And it's not just one or two that are saying this, but many are saying this. Many have decreed and spoken. But thou. But God. But thou. God has not spoken yet. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. My glory and the lifter of my head. But God, I don't care what the many are saying. What does God have to say about this? And God is my shield. It's not my army. It's not in what I can do. It's not in my ability to stand and fight. God is my shield. And when do you need a shield? When you're in battle. God is his shield. And you notice where that shield is? Round about him. All of a sudden, it's like, whoop, there's an arrow coming at him. You know, when God is your shield, you don't have to worry, because wherever the attack is coming, you know, the Lord is there. God knows even before the shot is fired, where it's coming from. Round about him. Bring it on. Because I've got a shield that is greater than those who attack me. God is my shield. And my glory is not being king of Israel. My glory is not in that I brought down Goliath. My glory isn't in this beautiful palace I have or anything else I have achieved. My glory is the Lord. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me and my glory. What is your glory? Is it in your position? Is it in your accomplishments? Is it in your possessions? Because David just lost all of that. He's running for his life. He's got nothing. Or does he have something? Because his glory is the Lord. And promotion comes from the Lord. Lord, you are the one who lifts my head. Lord, you are the one who gives me honor. How do you define success? I have a very simple definition of success. And that is, when my life is over, to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord today." That is success. And anything short of that is failure. It doesn't matter if your name is Bill Gates and you have all that money. If at the end of your life you don't hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it's for naught. You can be President of the United States, and if you don't hear at the end of your life, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it is for naught. You could be one of the greatest singers or one of the greatest all-star sports players, but if you don't hear at the end of your life, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," it is for naught. David is not listening to what people have to say, because many have said. But David, who says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me. My glory and the lifter of my head." You Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a battle. Oh, but that can be tomorrow. Yeah, I could probably run a little bit further tonight, but no. God's my shield. Tomorrow, I'm taking a nap. I need to just get some sleep. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and He answered me out of His holy mountain. He cried to the Lord, and now that he knows that the Lord has heard him, he can lay down and sleep. And isn't that the most unnatural thing for us to do when we know that something's really turned against us? We want to stay up and worry about it. But when we have confidence in knowing that the Lord has heard us, we can do something that very few can do. Sleep. To be able to rest in the Lord. Because David didn't take his problems to others. He didn't go crying to his friends. He didn't go crying to anybody other than to the Lord. He cried with his voice until he knew that the Lord had heard him. Now he's like, God, it's in your hands. I'm content. Lord, I can close my eyes and not worry about somebody coming up and trying to kill me, because you're already my shield. It says in Psalm 4:8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will make me to dwell in safety. Lord, my safety rests in you. I can rest in that. How often do we allow sleep to escape us? Because we just cannot let go of something, even for 8 hours. And we don't think that we can trust it with the Lord for 8 hours. But God wants to give us sleep. In Psalm 127:2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early and retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now I think of in the book of Esther, the king could not sleep. And he called and he said, have the annuals being written that were written, you know, what's been going on lately. And have that read. Oh, King, there was this conspiracy against you. And fortunately, one of your guards told us about it, and that was put down. And you know, Mordecai's sleeping. It's the king who couldn't sleep. God's taking care of the situation in the middle of the night. No, God does stuff even while we're asleep that we can't do on our own. God gives to us even in our sleep. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is sleep. And there are times that the Lord will keep us awake and speak to our hearts. But that's when the Lord keeps us awake. I remember one time I was writing a message and I had it pretty much done. And somewhere around 4 in the morning, the Lord woke me up and changed the message entirely. And it turns out that the church I was going to speak at had an all-night prayer and fast. And the message had to do with the very topic. And it was one of those things, you know, the Lord kind of woke me up and said, no, this is what you're to preach on. And I did, and it was just exactly what was needed for the moment. And it's like, the Lord can give to us, even in our sleep. If we have a hard time sleeping, maybe that's a sign for us that we haven't just fully said, Thou, O Lord, are shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. That we're not ready to say, okay, Lord, I don't need this. You're my shield. And not only did he sleep, he also awoke. I awoke.
And the Lord
sustains me. I awoke. I laid down. I slept. And guess what? During the entire night, the Lord watched over me. And now, I'm awake. And I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. What's 10,000 people compared to the Lord? 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. 100,000 compared to the Lord. I'm not counting numbers, Lord. I'm counting on you. Who have set themselves against me round about. You know, even though I'm surrounded, Lord, your shield surrounds me. Bring on the battle. Bring it on. Because his confidence was in the Lord. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. And this is back in Numbers when they were about to move and follow the cloud. When the cloud would depart, Moses would say, Arise, rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee before you. And I almost wonder if David is not echoing those words here. Arise, O Lord. And we do not need to fear of saying, Lord, rise up. To call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to move. Because, you know, if the Lord doesn't go before us, but when the Lord goes before us, what do we have to fear? And notice what he says here. For you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. This isn't Absalom and Absalom's army. David's looking back at the past. I remember there was this big Philistine facing me one morning when I was but a youth. And he went down. I remember I was running from Saul. The Lord protected me. There were many, many battles that David faced. And he came out, how? Victorious. Lord, you delivered me. 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 Lord, we've got another battle. And you are going to deliver me. Because that's what you have done in the past. We need to remember sometimes when we're going through a hard time and there seems to be no out. What has God done in the past when we seen that there was no out? And yet here we are today. Be able to say, Lord, you took me through that. Lord, if you could take me through that, you can take me through this. Sometimes the battles we've gone through in the past were even bigger than the ones that we're facing today. And we kind of forget that. Sometimes we are facing bigger battles. But guess what? God is bigger still. David even gets to the point because he realizes, you know something? Salvation belongs to the Lord. God's got this. But Lord, I've got these people that have had to flee with me from Jerusalem. They had to leave their homes, their businesses, to go out and help a dead dog like me. Lord, our kingdom is at a crossroad. Our kingdom is in a desperate spot of what's going to happen with leadership. We're going to have brothers fighting brothers over this. Your blessing be upon your people. Lord, this is bigger than just about me. This affects others too. Your blessing be upon them, Lord. So in conclusion, who do you listen to? Do you listen to the many?
or to God. As many people listen to the many rather than to what the Lord has said. And who do you cry out to? David did not call upon all of his friends to gather together. He did not try to comb the countryside to see how many would still be loyal to him. He cried to the Lord. And he wasn't afraid to say, God, where are you? I need you. No, it wasn't like... He wasn't afraid to speak out and say, Lord, I'm calling upon you. We need to realize that we can express to the Lord out loud the cries of our heart. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I cry out to thee. Now, to be able to lift up our voice, who do you cry out to? And who do you trust? Do you trust the Lord? How is that trust displayed? We really see David's trust when he went to sleep. He slept while there were people looking to kill him. He slept. How is your trust displayed? What has the Lord already done for you? What are His promises? And verse 3 is a beautiful promise. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. My glory and the lifter of my head. What a beautiful verse to commit to memory. Because you might not need that verse today, but there will be a verse in your tomorrows. A time in your tomorrow, said that verse, be something that you can really hold upon. And it can take you through some very dark times. And in the midst of going through hard times, can you take your eyes off of yourself and look to what others are also facing? Now, a lot of times as we start thinking about the needs of others, our problems just start to shrink. Thou, O Lord... It's not what others have to say, but you, O Lord, are a shield round about us. You are our glory. The one who gives us joy. The one in whom we delight in. And Lord, you're the one who brings us honor. You are the lifter of our heads. Lord, if there's anyone here today going through a hard time, Lord, it could even be argued that it's in some ways of their own making, as was David. Yet, Lord, it's you that we look to. It doesn't matter what others have said, but what you say that matters. Lord, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of fear, Lord, there's rest in you. And Lord, you are our rest. Christ is our rest. And Lord, we can rest in you and trust you for the outcome. Be our peace, be our shield, be our deliverer. Salvation is of the Lord. In you is our deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.